Hi, everyone. Welcome to Mama Wears Athleisure. I am your host, Mariela De Santiago, a first-time mom. We focus on all things mom with tips to help make life easier and more organized for all you mamas out there. Hi, everyone. Today we are here with Chelsea and Amber from Spark Mamas. I do want to let you ladies know you have come up in a couple of episodes. So I'm happy to have you on here because, you know, we've heard your company name be dropped a few times. So now it's nice to get your side of like what this is, what you have behind Spark Mamas. And then we can jump straight into talking about PMADS, which is perinatal mood and anxiety depression. Let's start off with having you ladies introduce yourself and tell us about Spark Mamas.
Hi, I'm Chelsea. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. I've been practicing in San Diego since 2012 when I graduated from USD. So I'm currently working in a private practice and typically see women throughout the transition to parenthood. So a lot of my practice is working with women who are trying to conceive as well as who are pregnant and or parenting. So I work with both individuals and couples. A lot of women come to see me when they are struggling with the perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. And when Amber and I met working at UCSD, we knew that there was a better way to support women and families during this time. And that's why we came to found Spark Mamas.
I'm Amber Rukai. I'm also a licensed marriage and family therapist. I helped start the UCSD Women's Reproductive Mental Health Program in 2006 and still co-direct that currently and have a small private practice. And Chelsea and I met working at UCSD.
Before we jump into PMADS, I kind of want to just go over really quick, what is the difference between PMADS and postpartum depression? Because I know I mentioned this earlier before we got on to the interview, but as a mom, right after you have your baby, you go in, you see your doctor, you get your checkups and everything is so focused on postpartum depression. So this is kind of like my first time and actually talking to other new moms where it's come up where I'm like, I had no idea this existed.
The focus used to be just on postpartum depression. And I think for the reason you identified, we now are looking at trying to treat mental health, not just in the postpartum period, but in pregnancy. So the term we now are looking for is perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. And the perinatal period covers anything from conception to the postpartum period. So we're looking at anxiety, OCD, PTSD, psychosis, bipolar disorder, any mental health issue that could occur and not just focusing on depression. We know that a lot of women do come in and they screen for postpartum depression and a lot of them don't identify with that because they're feeling more anxious than just depressed. And so they might not actually answer those questions because it doesn't connect with them. And then those women potentially would not get the support they need because they're just being screened for that piece of mental health.
Would you happen to have like any kind of statistics on how many women tend to be diagnosed with PMADS and what some of those symptoms may be? And I know that might be broad.
Yeah. So we see that about 1 in 5 women struggle with postpartum depression. So about 20% of women. And that number is about 1 in 7 in women who struggle with a perinatal mood and anxiety disorder. So as Amber mentioned, that's depression, anxiety, OCD, PTSD, and postpartum psychosis. We also know that about 1 in 10 dads will struggle with paternal postpartum depression. So perinatal mood and anxiety disorders are not just for women, categorized for women only. They're also happen to partners too.
And what are some symptoms that people might be able to look for or identify?
Well, I think it depends on for each kind of diagnostic, but like for example, anxiety, which we see a lot of, especially in first-time moms, we see a lot of women having excessive anxiety that might prevent them from even taking care of themselves. Their anxiety is so high that they're afraid to leave their baby or ask for help. Their anxiety can be so high where they're waking up at night too frequently and checking on the baby and now not sleeping at all. Some women have a hard time being able to like get in the car and drive and go places with their baby out of fear of something bad that could happen. And even sometimes with certain levels of anxiety, they're afraid to be alone with their baby out of fear that like their anxious thoughts or something bad that could happen. Sometimes not even trusting themselves around their baby. And that would be kind of more some anxiety and OCD symptoms.
symptoms. When we see a lot of women with depression, it's always so tricky, right? Because so many depressive symptoms also occur with new motherhood, right? When we think about how we describe depression in general, we talk about women, you know, individuals who may not want to leave the house or who may not want to take care of themselves, may not experience the same kind of pleasure in daily activities that they usually do, right? And so much of that is, as you know, is also like motherhood, right? Some of the things that you used to enjoy may be different when you're caring for a new baby. Leaving the house is not uncommon for a new mom. But when we look at depression in the postpartum period, it really extends beyond just the baby blues, which a lot of women experience. About 80% of women will experience within those first couple weeks postpartum. Depression persists longer. It can negatively impact attachment and bonding between mom and baby. Mom may not have a tremendous amount of interest in herself or in her baby, may have difficulty leaving the house, and may not experience enjoyment in things that she would have anticipated she would in that postpartum period. So a lot of times when we see that moms are depressed, not only does it feel awful to feel bad, but then there's this added shame and stigma associated with the fact that this is supposed to be the most wonderful time of your life, and yet you can't enjoy it.
I was going to say, add to that, I think also that, you know, on the anxiety spectrum, the same is true. We often expect that it's normal for us to be anxious as new mothers, and the tricky part becomes delineating between what's normative versus non-normative anxiety, right? It is normal to worry about your baby, but it might not be as normative to be worrying all day long to the point where you're just miserable and unhappy and can't leave your home. And so there can be some delineating differences between normative symptoms in the perinatal period and then non-normative.
I'm so glad that you mentioned how we have this thought that this is supposed to be like the happy time in your life. And it is, right? But we don't really get any exposure to all of the other possibilities of why you might not feel a certain way. And so I don't feel like as a new mom, you would know or even know like where to go or who to turn to. And you might just end up feeling like there's something wrong with you, right? So with that, that kind of brings me to my next question. What are some supports that women can access? Where can they go, especially if you might not have a safe person or a person that you feel comfortable sharing this information with, because I don't know, you just might feel like there's something wrong.
You know, there are a lot of places where I encourage women to go to connect to other women, to not only normalize their experience, but also to come up with ideas of how to feel better and how to feel more like themselves. So some places where it might be harder for a woman to go to a depression support group because of some of the shame and stigma around that, I encourage moms to connect with other women in a place like a breastfeeding group or a walking group or a mommy and me group, just so they can connect with other women who may be feeling the same way. We also really encourage women to access care and support in the pregnancy time if they're starting to not feel like themselves. The goal is that if we can connect with them sooner, we can treat and augment those symptoms much easier at 30 weeks gestation or 1 month postpartum than we can if mom has been suffering for 6 months. We also encourage women to utilize their local resources, whether it's asking their physician for a referral for therapy, Googling. For example, in San Diego, we have the San Diego Postpartum Health Alliance, which is a wonderful resource and is a chapter of a larger organization called the Postpartum Support International. And on there, they can get access to support groups, therapists, and psychiatrists who may be able to help and to intervene.
If you also have a known history of any mental health concerns, like maybe this is your second pregnancy and you had a history of postpartum depression or anxiety or a mood disorder, or even if you have a family history of a mental health disorder, it's important to let your midwife or your OB provider or whoever is providing your care during the pregnancy about that mental health issue early on. The sooner we know, the sooner that they can get access to care, because we do know right now it is hard sometimes for people to get access to care. Just there's not enough mental health providers, and there's insurance issues and financial issues and access issues that do exist. So being able to start that process as soon as possible allows your providers to start helping you get connected in the community where you need to sort of land.
I love that you mention a mommy and me group or a mom walk or something where you can, a place where you can go and connect with other moms, because even just from like the day-to-day or any sort of struggle that you have with a baby, you feel a lot better just being able to connect with other moms that are in that same struggle. And then you don't feel as lives alone, you also kind of have that support where they can share what they've experienced, what's worked for them, what hasn't. So it does kind of help that environment. It is true. It takes a village. I feel like at least here in San Diego, we have a lot of those mom groups. I've gone to quite a few of them, and it's so nice to meet other moms where you're like, oh, okay, like I'm not alone in this. This is awesome.
Hey everyone, I'm Lena, host of the New Mamas Podcast, a podcast created to help first-time moms everywhere navigate this new stage of life, talking about the honest and the raw moments in motherhood. We don't shy away from the real stuff, and with me, very little is off limits. Search New Mamas Podcast on your favorite listening platform and connect with me on Instagram at New Mamas Podcast or at Lena Forrestal. Happy listening!
Yeah, exactly. It can really decrease their isolation and their feelings of loneliness in motherhood, which I think are very prevalent.
I want to go ahead and kind of switch it over to your company, Spark Mamas, because it seems like you do have a lot of these type of services. And I know that the services are very broad, but the idea is to support moms in any way, aside from just purchasing that onesie that they need for their baby. Would you mind sharing a little bit about what you have created with Spark Mamas and some of the services that you have on there to be able to support moms during the stage?
Yeah. So when Amber and I were working together at UCSD, we together created the curriculum for a surviving the fourth trimester course. And in it, we'd go in and we'd talk to expectant couples and women about things that we knew they needed in the postpartum period, with the idea of we can start, you know, the time to plan for the postpartum period is in pregnancy. And oftentimes when you're in it, you're like, I know I don't feel good and I don't know what I need or where to find it. And so our aim in this course was to talk about what it can look like. And if it at all deviates from what you expect or hope, where to go to get the support that you need. So creating these courses, Amber and I drafted up this PDF that we kept updating every week with our favorite providers, resources, and ideas of where a new family could go to get support. And in that, we said, wouldn't it be cool if there was a website that was like a one-stop shop that housed all of these people? And out of that, Spark Mamas was born.
And also adding to that too, even when we found we would refer these individuals to these particular services, they still had a hard time accessing it or following up on the referral. And so part of one of the reasons we were sort of identifying was this barrier is that it's hard for moms to give themselves permission to access those services or to spend money on themselves to do that. So our hope was that if we could create a space where they could create a wish list for themselves, a registry for themselves, where other people could start to participate in buying those gifts for them versus just buying them baby gifts, then they might also have more readiness to access those services because it was gifted to them and they were kind of sort of then give themselves permission to go take care of themselves.
That's amazing. So a mom can essentially create the registry and kind of somehow kind of link it to something like Baby List. Is that it? Yeah, that's the one that I think I used where, you know, takes anything from any site and it shows you who offers it. Are there other services such as mental health services on there where women can choose to have that as something that they wish to kind of prepare for?
We, as a budding business, are hope to expand our services to be more inclusive of mental health. Amber and I have the goal of ensuring that we have, for example, this Surviving the Fourth Trimester course on our website. We also want our website to include education resources. If you look on our resource page now, if you feel overwhelmed or that you may be needing additional support, we have some great resources on our website. As it stands currently, a mom can go online. She can create a wish list that she can share with a friend for her baby registry or her partner. You can also go online and shop for yourself or just shop for another woman in your life who may not be in that pregnancy or acute perinatal period. Our goal is that a woman in a family at any time has access to the support and the care that they need.
And the goal too is, I think, like Chelsea had mentioned, I think a lot of times when you're in that first process, especially first-time moms, I don't think they even know entirely what they do need. And so we've broken down the gifts by basic need, So you have Shop of Beauty, Connection, Support, and Wellness, and Time. And so with that, under each of those categories, they can find a specific need. So like, for example, with the Gift of Time, maybe they have a home cleaning service or laundry service or something where they can get a little bit more time back to themselves with that needing met by a gift.
You are so right that first-time moms have no idea what they're going to need. All that you see is how moms, you know, they have their baby and everything's great and wonderful. And then you don't realize that once you have your baby, like your hormones are all over the place. And then you start crying. Like, for instance, with me, I remember one of the first times I broke down was I pumped for the first time and it wasn't very much. And then I went to like go pour my milk in the bag and it spilled everywhere. And I just started like hyperventilating, crying. You know, you just don't realize that you're mentally like, you're just going to break down for everything. So unprepared. And I was like, is there something wrong with me? Like, why am I so sad? I'm even crying because I love my kids so much.
I mean, I think you described pretty much every new mother that we've ever seen. And so that's, I mean, that is exactly part of it, right? It's so overwhelming. And most of the stuff that you're being given education about is not about like all of the other parts of yourself that are going to need to be cared for, whether that's in the form of a postpartum doula who comes in the middle of the night that gives you and offers you a break and some sleep, to a lactation consultant, to pelvic floor, to help your body recover and prepare for birth and then recover in the postpartum period. So those are some of the gifts that we offer through Spark Mamas, because we're trying to also treat the whole mom. And that piece of it sort of seems to be missing, I think, in their care during the perinatal period.
I think you're definitely spot on that it is something that's missing and that moms don't realize they need until they're in it. And then, you know, you get into the whole situation of where moms don't like to ask for help and be vulnerable because they think that they have it, but then their house is a mess and it's like a ripple effect of everything, right?
Exactly. So, and then you're too overwhelmed to ask for help. And then there's no time to figure out where to find the help or to even access it, because even that is a lot of like invisible labor, is trying to find the people that you actually need to support you. So we're trying to break down some of those barriers by making that really accessible with partners that we have worked really hard to build relationships with and have vetted as being like really good providers and caring providers, and that have similar value systems as Chelsea and I in terms of like the care of the mother. So we're hoping to reduce those barriers for moms even when they are ready to ask for that help.
Like, you guys are doing something amazing that is so needed. You know, there's obviously a space for it and it's not being filled. So this is kind of a solution that's heading in that direction. So that's awesome. So I wanted to just kind of get to if you have any other tips, suggestions, recommendations for women that maybe after listening to this are realizing that maybe they might have some sort of a PMADS or postpartum depression. Like, what is like the first step? And then any other, you know, recs that you have aside from that?
I think the first step is always just saying it out loud, right? I think because there's a lot of maybe not knowing where to go or embarrassment or shame around not quite feeling like yourself. I think some women are also shocked because they didn't expect that it would happen to them. And they have an idea about what depression and anxiety looks like. And that doesn't kind of go along with their own self-identity before motherhood. And we know depression and anxiety always occur on a continuum. So I always encourage the first step is to ask for help. If you're local to San Diego, call the San Diego Postpartum Health Alliance. They have a 1-800 number. You can access a mom who has been there 24/7. And we also have the Postpartum Support International. They have a 1-800 number and you can speak to somebody in any state, any country who would be able to help you identify a little bit more about what is going on and where to get help in your area.
And then also to add to that, you know, if you are currently pregnant, we encourage you to go, if you're local in San Diego, to create a wish list for yourself through Spark Mamas so that you can start to identify all the things you think you might need outside of just like the focus on the mental health. All of those things augment and help your mental health if you're being cared for with sleep and with support and all of these other areas, and to share that with your network of people so that they can help to sort of take care of you, whether it's through a meal delivery service or other support services that you're going to need outside of just the care of the baby.
Thank you for all of that. You ladies really provided so much great information. And I love that you have also just the resources page. So I hope you're okay with me linking that on the show notes and that, you know, give somebody a place to go and hopefully the information that they need or a direction to take from there.
That'd be great. Thank you.
It's been so nice chatting with you and I appreciate you taking the time. I know you're so busy to just share share everything that you have and to share the mental health stuff with us.
Thank you for having us on the show.
And thanks for all the good work you're doing, Mariella.
Thanks. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for our next episode. You can find us on Instagram for more updates and tips. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts and give us a review if you like us.